Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is the show Self-Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Tonight's topic is From Mighty Lion to Humble Lamb, and this is a little bit of a piggyback of the show we did 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the infield five rule, how Paul had let the churches know that, you know, what they were doing was they had to correct their actions. And basically, was letting them know that, you know, what you're doing is wrong, and you have to straighten things up. So that was the topic we had. And so now we're going to go a little bit further from, you know, what we're talking about as far as we're going to talk about Paul himself. Paul was called Saul before he was the Apostle Paul. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go back and we're going to just examine, you know, just a small portion of Paul's life before he, you know, he hit the road to Damascus, where, you know, God put in place a mighty, mighty process of his transformation from Saul to Paul. And, you know, we all talk about, you know, different things as far as, you know, transformations and, you know, being a new person. Paul truly became when he was known as Saul, became a truly different person, totally different person. And we're going to start talking about some of the things that created that change. And just to, everybody, you know, when they say, hey, we're talking about change, we're not talking about a show where they have extreme makeovers. They're making over your house, making over your looks and stuff like that. When they do, you know, something like that, you know, the devil's a liar. But, you know, but when they do things like that, you know, you have to look at some of the things, because based on, you know, those shows, you know, there's either a doctor, there's either, you know, either a fashion expert, or it's just, you know, someone of that sort where, you know, they incorporate some things, but that makeover is just temporary. That, you know, once that show's over, that outfit they had, or, you know, or that house they had, or whatever, it wasn't a permanent solution. It was just something, it was just a short makeover, basically what it was. It was a short way of having things done to represent a transformation. All right, so let's talk about, you know, ourselves a little bit. You know, many times, you know, what keeps us from changing is our stubbornness, laziness, arrogance, and sometimes ignorance about what, you know, needs to be done. At other times, we're confronted with things that we cannot possibly change alone. You know, as a child of God, I have discovered that there are, you know, many things that I don't have the ability to change. You know, we're not an independent people. We are dependent people. I know we have been told, you know, we can do anything we put our minds to. You know, it sounds nice, but without the help of God, we can't do nothing. Okay, so in Acts chapter 19, Saul of Tarsus, let's talk about Saul a little bit. Saul of Tarsus needed an extreme makeover, basically. You know, basically, it's good to know that God is an expert when it comes to transformations. In fact, over and over again, he has shown that he can change that which seems to be impossible. Most of us are familiar with the, you know, the conversion of Saul. And what set in motion was after the death of Stephen, a friend of his. And, you know, basically, after the death of Stephen, Saul made havoc in the church. He literally waged war on the church and any person who supported the church. And the word havoc is a Greek word. It's described as a wild hog viciously uprooting a vineyard. You know, how did Saul become such an evil force against the church? Saul was probably named after King Saul. He was the, you know, from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a freeborn Jew. circumcised, you know, on the eighth day, educated in the local synagogue, and trained at the feet of I can't pronounce it, but, you know, he's prepared to serve, you know, a Pharisee. You know, to, you know, and basically he did it to the best of his ability. He kept the law and he upheld the Jewish tradition. Sal perceived the way, you know, as a threat. You know, Sal, you know, he perceived, you know, the new ways, the new covenant as a threat to the Jewish way of life. You know, he was zealous. He was a zealot. You know, and he's basically trying to stop, you know, that influence at all costs. Sal needed an extreme change in his life because of his lack of knowledge. His zeal, you know, just pretty much out equal, you know, anyone else that was, you know, out there at that time, and, you know, in that, especially in the area where he was, you know, where he was at. All right, so, you know, because Sal suffered a lack of knowledge, you know, he basically sought out and destroyed, and he went through his destructive ways where, you know, Sal basically was just bent on just destroying, you know, the church. And like I said, what brought emotion was, you know, the death of his friend, Stephen. And so we're going to go, and I'm going to go over Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. We're just going to go through those two chapters. And Sal, yeah, breathing out, you know, threats, and, you know, the slaughter, you know, basically the slaughter, you know, basically any of the disciples of Christ. And he went high, you know, he went to the high priest, and, you know, his desires basically was to go into every synagogue, every place of worship, and he was going to root out, you know, men, women, and children that he thought that he might, you know, that he basically thought that was basically against the old, you know, the old ways, the actually the, you know, the traditional ways that he grew up in. You know, plus, you know, with his ignorance, you know, it created mass chaos. You know, most people are down on what, you know, they're not up on. But Paul, well, Sal was so zealous for the Jewish belief that he began a campaign of persecution against anyone, anywhere who believed in Jesus. He was even convinced the Jewish authorities, you know, they gave him actually a letter of authority to basically stamp out the movement anywhere he found. Basically, what Sal did was, as soon as he had, you know, someone would say a couple words that he, you know, that he thought was beneficial to him as far as what he wanted to do and how he wanted to strike out, Sal basically said, hey, you know what, close enough, good enough. Okay, I'm going to go with this and I'm going to run away with it, and now I'm going to stamp out everybody I feel as though it is the enemy to, you know, an enemy anywhere he found. So he even, you know, he's, a, you know, on his way to Damascus, you know, and that's where, you know, believing that he could, you know, he can crush anything anywhere, because he felt as though he was right. And I don't know if you ever heard the term is like, you know, you're so right that you're wrong. You know, he basically wanted to stop the spread of Christianity because, you know, he thought that was what caused the death of his friend Stephen. But the truth, you know, the matter was, Saul was not fighting, you know, for God as he believed it, that he was fighting against God. You know, we need to make sure that when we choose our battle, when we choose our fight, yes, we you know, we're strong and mighty in some ways, but sometimes we can, you know, like I say, you know, your biggest strength can be, you know, one of your greatest weaknesses, or can be turned into one of your greatest weaknesses. And let me just briefly let everybody know that, you know, that we're on www.blogtalkradio.com. And if you want to call in, the call-in phone number is 319-527-6091. And before I just go, you know, further in, I just want to – I have some help tonight. My brother, Elder David P. Hudson Sr., is going to be on with me tonight. So let's introduce my brother. He's no stranger to Purpose Kingdom Network. He's done two revivals, and he's also one of the parts of Roundtable Ministries. Elder Hudson, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How you doing? I'm glad to be on tonight. Thank you very much.
No problem, no problem. All right, so I was talking about basically Sal's conversion from being, you know, from actually, you know, when Sal was, you know, actually, you know, when he, so I didn't get to the part where he was on the road to Damascus, but basically I was just describing Sal how basically his mannerism and basically the turn of events that led him to, you know, actually wage a, you know, if I could say, like a one-man war against Christianity.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. His history is really deep. He was a very intelligent man. He was a Roman citizen. I mean, even down from, spoke a couple languages. He was very, very knowledgeable, and he did a lot of things. And he thought, like, just like you described, he thought he was doing the will. In his eyes, he thought he was doing the will of God, searching out these believers or the people of the way, you know, and he was going after God's people, wiping them, trying to wipe them out, you know. So, yeah.
So, I was just talking about Acts chapter 9:1-2. So, I was going to focus right now on Acts chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. So, you know, what happened to Saul was at his height of his one man war against Christianity. He was on his way to Damascus. And suddenly, you know, that's when God came to him. God came to him from the very heavens. And, you know, he basically, you know, he fell to the earth because he knew who he was looking at. And, you know, basically God asked him, why you persecute me? And he said, you know, basically, who are you? You know, and he said, Lord, he knew who he was. He knew who it was as soon as he saw him. But he had to ask the question. And you know, and the Lord says, I am Jesus who thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against thee, you know. And
right.
So at this point, you know, when Christ, you know, confronted Saul, you know, Saul, you know, was right there. And actually, that's when he came into his heart. And he actually, you know, from the whole confrontation, you know, Saul became blinded. And God gave him some instructions after he was blinded. And, you know, a lot of times with us, that's something that happened to Sal. He was blinded, and that's something extreme. A lot of things happen to us, you know, while we're going through a conversion. And it may not be as extreme as being blinded or losing a sense or, you know, even for that matter, losing a leg or arm. You know, sometimes we lose some things, like maybe we thought, you know, a possession, like a car, you know, a house or a job. Sometimes God has to get our attention. And when it comes to that, that's where, you know, God doesn't force us. He doesn't force us to make a change. We make a change on our own.
Right.
I know a lot of people have said, you know, I'm down on my luck, or this has not seemed to be going good at all. But, you know, yet they still continue to do, you know, some of the same things. They haven't changed their ways. Sometimes people reach that turning point, and they go past, it when they have a opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to comment on that, David? Elder Hudson?
No, just like you said, it's the transforming and the changing of the mind. You know, if you don't have that mindset that's changed, everything will remain the same, and that's where people they find themselves back in the same situation because their mindset hasn't been changed. And just like you can change your clothes, you can change, you know, different things, but until you change your mindset will make you change the things that matter, those people that are around you that are not for you. It'll make you change those people that are around you. It'll make you change your surroundings. It'll make you change the way you eat, the way you dress, the conversations that you hold. So until your mind is changed,
amen.
Until that mind changes, you will just fall back into the same trap or to the same routine, go back in the same hole, talk back to the same people, keep doing the same things, and that mindset. And each person has a different level of stubbornness that has to be broken, and that level is different depending on the person. And you see, even with the story with Saul, his mindset was changed when a interaction with Jesus took place.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, and I remember we had a conversation, and you know, this, you know, when I was wondering, and I don't know if you remember, I asked you, I said, I'm trying to find out where he actually changed his name from Saul to Paul. And you know, we were looking it up, and you found a verse. But you know, basically, what happened to Saul was this transformation that he had was so smooth that it was so smooth and it was so seamless that all of a sudden, you know, from being called Saul, he was called Paul. And we all know that Saul, you know, like I said, he waged his one-man war against Christianity. And so the very sight of him, let alone his name, incited fear. And, you know, also, you know, the very methods that he used to, you know, persecute and, you know, even, you know, kill many Christians, that brought about fear. So when, you know, he's called the Apostle Paul, you know, I guess, you know, somewhere along the line, when you want to just totally break ties from, you know, a remembrance of your past, sometimes it may take something as a name change. Sometimes it may take a title in front of your name, like, you know, say, you know, Pastor or Minister Robert, or, you know, and say, hey, you know, if I'm known as plain old Robert, but there's so many different things, so many different aspects that people identify with me. Sometimes by just adding a title in front of your name and basically stating that this is where I am, I'm doing, you know, I'm a minister or I'm a pastor, I'm doing the work of the Lord. So sometimes with that title in front of your name, or let alone just a whole name change, sometimes that just may complete that transformation, and then that may actually help the outside world identify what actually happened to you.
Right. Yeah. Amen. That's true. And another way is that, you know, even though he was, you know, people will judge you by your past. A lot of people will judge you by your past, even when you come over and commit to Christ. And as you see, they didn't believe. I mean, they had a strong reason not to believe. I mean, he was tearing down the Christians, but still. In this day, we do a lot of things in the street or in the world, and then when you come over to Christ, you know, like you find out a lot of people don't believe you, even if they know you were there. They try to challenge you, and they still try to call you by that old name or by your old ways or by the way that you was living. They try to test you to see if you are living for Christ, regardless if you've been on the deacon board for 40 years. People will try you and test you,
yes,
test your faith, and you have to be ready to be able to respond to that accordingly. And not to say that you have to prove your Christianship, but you sort of do, but you just have to live your life, you know, without, you know, like in a boastful way. But I was saying that to say that people will call you by that old nature and by that old way, and you don't need to accept them calling you by that old nature, because then you'll fall back
Amen.
Into the old ways, accept what people call you for or how they call you. You know, you are, you know, a new creature in God, so you are to be that new creature in God, just like the scripture said. You know, so if you accept somebody calling you the old ways, then it's so easy to fall back into that. It might sound like so much of a cliche, but it really is. You know what I mean? Like if you accept the old things, that's exactly what it is.
Amen, amen. And I like the way you explained that, David. That was sometimes it's like, you know, when you try to explain something, you just can't find the words. And I think those are just the perfect words right there. And from right there, I just want to go over, you know, real quickly and jump into, you know, we're still in Acts chapter 9. Basically, we're going to be, you know, in Acts chapter 9 for the, you know, for most of the evening. So we're going to just concentrate on chapters 6 through 9. And I don't have the actual Bible with me, so you know, I would like to read the scriptures, but we just want to go ahead and talk about what happened there.
You want me to read it? Acts
chapter 9, verse 69. Yes.
69? Okay, I can read it. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Romans. I'm like, what's up? Hold on.
My last show I asked everybody to read the entire chapter of Romans, because that was basically what I was covering the show. So, you know, don't forget, you know, everybody, when you get a chance, you know, just read the whole entire chapter of Romans. And that was basically the Apostle Paul, you know, his letters to the church, explaining to them how to correct their actions. Go ahead, David. Elder Hudson.
No, you're right. Go ahead. I'm still David. What you said, 9 and 6, right?
Yes.
All right. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth and went from his eyes were open. He saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink.
Amen. So, you know, basically with Saul, is going through, and it's what we sometimes ignore. When God, he's moving, he's working with us. And as I was saying, you know, Saul for 3 days lost his sight, and he was, you know, he had to be led to Damascus where he was going. So here Saul was, you know, bent on death and destruction when he headed to Damascus, and now he's seeking out, you know, instruction from God now, because now God instructed him. And on top of that, he's blinded. So Saul right now, and even though you would say, hey, you know what, if anybody struck blind, they would do that. But no, he was not only blinded, but he was also commanded. So there's a difference. So he's being obedient. And so what he's doing, he's not looking for any reward now. He has a whole change in his heart. And as they were saying that, they heard voices, but they saw no man. Sometimes when people they see a change about us, but they see no reason, because they can't see in our hearts. And so that's how a lot of people, when they say, "Hey, I think I know what's wrong with you," or "I think you know, you're changing," or "You know what? Oh, I know what you need. You probably need to do this, or probably need to do that." That's when people, you know, the interference of, you know, you can't allow that to interfere once God has spoken to you and God has instructed you. So, you know, that's where Saul is at right there. You want to add on to that?
Like down even in this experience in like chapter 26, Paul, he even mentions the conversion in different parts down in the scripture. And for me, I'll just get out of that. Like, you can... Like, don't nobody know your testimony like you. So I like it because she started getting into real details about how even this bright light came about. And if you notice, he describes this bright light, it came about. It says it was at noonday. It was brighter than the sun. So God really wanted to get his attention. That the light, that it was brighter than the sun, had to get his attention. So, and what I could take out of that is, what bright light that God has to do to you to get your attention? Like, what is he trying to do to get your out there? What is he doing? And I hate to say it like that, because I don't try to do scare tactics, but God is, he's out there trying to get our attention. So what has to be done to you to get your attention? And it varies for different people. For me, it might be just for to lose my job. You know, I'm gonna lose my job, but that's how it happens. We see things happen to people. and people wonder, like, oh, why is this happening to me, and why is this happening to me? And you might be experiencing that bright light to get your attention, because God already says in the scripture that he's a jealous God. You know, you're not to put nothing before him, and he would do anything to get you to do his will and his way. That people don't want to hear that, but that's really first. He's not really concerned about your feelings and all that first. What's first is his will and his will and his way is first. Then your feelings come later. So if you're not lining up with his will and his way, he would do anything, send that bright light to get your attention.
Amen, amen. And I like I said, once again, I like the way you just put some of the words together. Sounds so eloquent. And, you know, going back to, Sal's conversion. Now, do you believe that, and basically this is the equivalent of what Sal did. Do you believe that Osama, at the height of Osama bin Laden's, reign of terror, do you believe within a week that he would just change his ways? And that's basically what happened to Sal. It's basically he was the Osama bin Laden of that time. And he basically, within 1 week's stay, he was blind for 3 days. And then he, basically he totally converted with, once he met the, I forget the guy he met at the, when he spoke to him.
Oh,
and he says, arise, Sal. What was the name?
Ananias.
Okay. That's down in chapter 9, right?
Yes.
All right. Let me see. I believe
it's in there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him he said, Lord, in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street, which is called Straight, inquiring in the house of Judas, the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight.
Amen, amen. So, not to, like I said, there, those are the extreme things that Sal went through. Also, Lot, he went through extremes, not converting, but actually just being strong in his faith, being strong in his faith. And what that takes is a strong, a reconstitution of yourself. And once you reconstitute yourself and you say, this is, I'm born again and I've changed my ways. And like they say, every, spring cleaning or just cleaning out your closet or something like that. Basically, you're doing that. You're actually doing that. You're actually doing the spring cleaning. You're actually, preparing yourself, and, there's going to be friends. There's going to be people. You're going to be casting away different things, even the music we play or even the places we go. Sometimes we may just, we may just shed those all together. And it's, and it's not like this to say, like, wherever you go or wherever you went before, that just because you're just going back or you're just showing up, that's going to take away from what you, what your faith is and what you believe in. Doesn't mean just because you you used to go to bars and say you go in a bar. Maybe you just want to just, catch up with an old friend and say, hey, you say, hey, you want to have a drink? He says, you say, no, I'm fine. I just converted, I just, want to let you know that and just want to see how you were doing or whatever. Sometimes we still have to go places. There's people that we can save, just by our testimony. And sometimes we have to be, like they say, we have to be brave. Go ahead, David.
No,
I thought you were saying something, sorry. But sometimes we have to be brave, sometimes we have to walk our old hearts And it's not just a test to us or a test of our constitution. Sometimes there's others that we can reach back and we can bring with us, you know. But, you know, just because, you know, it's not, you know, we're all, you know, at some point, you know, we're forged in the fire. We're battle tested. We're ready, you know, all the trials and tribulations. You know, God wouldn't place on our shoulders, you know, something that we can't handle. And you know, as far as just, you know, going back and reaching back, it should be no fear, because, you know, especially if you're born again and you're reconstituted and you're a new being, it should be no fear of walking. It's not like you're walking into the unknown. You're walking back to where you came from. Doesn't mean that you're going to stay there. It's just that you're going to visit. You're just going to see. You know, sometimes, like, if you had a car that got wrecked, and you know that the car is total, but you say, hey, let me go back and see if there's something I can salvage out of it. Maybe it's something I can get use out of. You know, you don't have to wreck the whole thing. So that's the same thing as your old neighborhoods, old bars, old hangout spots, old basketball courts, or whatever it is you've done. You know,
right.
once you make your conversion, you know, it doesn't mean not to go back. No, by all means, go back. And, you know, like I said, you can see what you can salvage from where you came. Because sometimes, you know, Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No. I was gonna say you can go back, but first the Bible says you have to save yourself first. Like, so you have to make sure you at the level where you can go back. Mm-hmm. That's what I was gonna say. You know, some people can't go back. You know, some people can't go back. Just like even with what you described, Lot in his situation with his wife. You know, even when the angel of the Lord came to them and told them that they was going to destroy the city and told them to get out, their first response was, oh, can we go to the city that's close by so they can
right.
still look and see, you know, at the city. You still was in distance of the city. Like, you still want to stay close just in case God don't strike them down, or just in case your friends still have a party and you can still hear the noise, or you can still be there and still be apart. You know, the Bible talks about a separation, you know, that's supposed to take place. We're not supposed to be of the world. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're not supposed to be just like them. It's supposed to be a difference, you know. So that difference can make, when you experience that, that can make you go back. You know, when you get to that level where you can go back and be that difference maker, and people will be able to just look at you and say, man, there's something different about Brother Rod. He looks different. His walk is different. Like, he just carries a certain glow or aura around him. Like what's going on? They would ask you, like, what's going on new with you? What you look different. Like, what's going on? Like, and then that would be your door to open up. Then you can be able to witness and, you know, about what's going on. But I said all that to say, but some people can't go back, and some people, when they change, they gotta all the way change. Part of their change is to separate themselves. From the come out from among them. That's what the scripture says. So some people experience this to come out, and they can't go back, or they'd be like Lot's wife, you know, or they'd be that pill, not that physical pillar of salt, but they'd be their own pillar of salt within the realm that sets them up. Because they were disobedient.
Amen. Wow. Yeah, like I said, you know, I like the way you break things down, you know, and, yeah, you know, like you were saying, you know, many of us suffer for lack of knowledge, you know. Just like Saul, you know, we're arrogant, proud, and, you know, sometimes we have that self-will, that overesteem, where we think we can, you know, we forget where, you know, the source of our success comes from. Sometimes we overpraise ourselves, and we ease out God, and, you know, where we think that, like, the many accomplishments that we've done or the many things that we overcome, you know, and this is, you know, of course, before we are reconstituted, and what we need to do is sometimes we have to do. You know, we had to take a time of evaluation, and we had to actually find, you know, actually get that measuring stick of how far apart we are from actually from being with, you know, with God and being, you know, have that pure relationship with Him. You know, and it's kind of harder and harder to resist. You know, you always going to have that urgent feeling, like you have an urge, whereas though it, you know, you feel as though it's an unquenched thirst that you have, no matter how far you get in your accomplishments. You know, a lot of times when we don't have that relationship with God, a lot of times we just feel as though there's something more that we want to accomplish, and we had that feeling. That's when you need to reconstitute yourself. You need to have that relationship with God. A lot of successful people, you know, believe it or not, you know, they believe in God, and they, you know, they have God, you know, in their corner. Even though you may not see it, or you know, it may not show, or you basically don't hear them praising them. But at some point, a lot of, you know, like I said, a lot of successful people, they, you know, they've known what it is to accomplish. They have, you know, no matter what they're doing, if they're running a Fortune 500 company, if they're running a major corporation, they own a basketball team, football team, or whatever it is, you know, they know what that thirst that they have, that they want, you know, and they know what it is. And, you know, a lot of people, they're wise enough to know that, you know, at some point, you know, they get a spiritual advisor, or they, you know, they have a pastor or a minister, somebody they can talk to. And then that's where, you know, they get that break where it, you know, where people around them never said, hey, you need to go to church, or you want to go to church, or you want to, you know, invite Christ into your life. You know, it's the image of that person. They're thinking this person doesn't have time for that. This person is busy trying to make bills. He's trying to run his corporation. He has, no time. And, you know, that's the thing about when people appear to be, you know, high and mighty to other people. They don't know where their heart is. You know, sometimes God places people in places where they're most effective. He's not going to put, you know, somebody that has totally, you know, no idea or no clue how to, you know, spread His wealth and knowledge. And one thing that I do, we do have a caller, and me and Elder Hudson are going to bring you on as soon as I make this point. But, you know, God is not going to place in your hands, you know, somebody that's stingy. He's not going to place in the hands of somebody stingy. He's not going to give them, you know, millions of dollars. He gives that millions of dollars to somebody that's generous. So that person, and the more millions that person have, the more they can give. You know, God is not going to, you know, allow, you know, somebody to just, you know, sit on wealth and not spread it. I mean, some people, they seem to be wealthy, and they seem to not spread the wealth, but eventually that wealth will get spread, whether their company crumbles, whether they get sued. There's so many different ways where wealth can be removed and it's placed in the hands of people that, you know, that's more effective. And it's not to say that God, you know, accepts the money concept, but God is going to make sure that in the way, you know, I'm not actually putting it together in the words I want to, but He's basically making sure, you know, the effectiveness of the money concept is going to, it's going to not accommodate the people, but actually help His people, and not the, right, you know, the wealthy.
No.
Yeah. All right, so we got a caller. Thanks. So we got a caller. I'm going to bring that caller on real quickly. Good evening. Good evening. How you doing, caller? Right, so we'll see if we get that caller back later on right now.
Yeah.
All right. So, I was just, you know, going on about, you know, explaining that about the, you know, the wealth. But sometimes it seems like, you know, and we can go beyond wealth. We can be, you know, somebody else that's, you know, that does, you know, something else. Sometimes we feel as though some people are unapproachable. Like even our own ministers and pastors in our church, and we feel as though, they don't have time for that, or, you know, why should I take my time out and explain their problems? But that's why they're in that position there. you know, they're there to minister and also help and guide people. You know, at one time, everybody needs guidance. You know, everybody needs help. And everybody is, I'll put it this way, there's nobody that should be untouchable, unapproachable. No matter, especially if, you know, you're in somebody else, you're in somebody's congregation. You know, we shouldn't separate, you know, we shouldn't feel as though we're separated or that, you know, a minister or pastor is unapproachable or, you know, we can't have a simple conversation. You know, that's where, you know, like I was explaining Paul when he wrote the letters to the church in Romans. The reason why he wrote that letter because there was a certain separatism that was placed on the churches. So a church, you know, all of a sudden a church wasn't a church. It was like a clique. It was like a gang or a movement. And not only were they improperly instructing, you know, the congregants, they were actually turning away people. And so if you feel as though that way in a church, and especially a church that you attend, if you feel as though that you have to, that you can't approach somebody, or you can't seek out minister knowledge, you know, especially from a pastor or a minister or even a reverend, you know, and if you feel that way, then you're pretty much persecuted in your own, you know, house of worship that you come to worship, which you shouldn't feel that way. And so, real quickly, let me see if I can just pull up my notes real quick. You know, now basically, when people transform, you know, they go through a transformation, you know, there is like a long-lasting impression. That's the word. The long-lasting impression of the people that actually, you know, they're close to them, and they know where they can say from when I remember when he was this age, and I know the age he is right now, and I remember he was like this, and he's like that now. Also, you know, you're a living testimony, and basically, when people can actually see, you know, when you're in your misguided, misinformed ways. You demonstrate a reckless behavior, and you know you're probably full of pride and arrogance. And well, now where you're wise, and you know, and you actually, you know, look out for, you know, your fellow mankind. You know, when people, you know, see basically your body of work, and that's truly something to behold, and something, you know, that everybody, you know, eventually, you know. You know, on their way, and once they have claimed, and they repented and they changed, you know, that's something you should look back on and be proud of. You know, actually, just, you know, being able to look at your, you know, the body of work of your transformation. And we're going to go on the call of salvation pretty soon. Let me see if we can get that caller back on. Caller, you're on. How you doing? Spoken Skin Network, Self-Expressions, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson, and Elder David Hudson. Are you there, caller? All right. So, David, if you don't mind, can you do the call of salvation for us tonight? All right. So, David, you there? All right. So, I believe my brother, he'll come back. So right now we're just going to the call of salvation. And the call of salvation is pretty simple. It's just, you know, claiming your relationship with God and, you know, putting your exclamation point and letting him know that, you know, you're repentant, you've changed. You know, you turned over a new leaf in life where, you know, basically you're starting off with a clean slate. You're a new person. You know, one of the best ways to do that is to say, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe God sent his only begotten son to die for my sins. And, you know, once you said that or say it, you know, something similar, you know, you're saved and you just want to let someone know and just let them know. Say, hey, listen, I've turned my life over to Christ and I just want to let you know. You can basically tell anyone. You can tell your mom, you can tell your dad, You can tell sisters, you know, brothers, uncles, aunts, cousins. But, you know, one of the great things is that, you know, you just establish a relationship with Christ. And, you know, welcome to the kingdom. And one of the things I suggest you do is you find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ. And if you can't find that, that's why we're here. And, you know, we're here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We broadcast almost each and every night that we're able to broadcast. You know, and, you know, we truly, truly, you know, want to, you know, welcome you in Christ. And if you need an avenue to express, you know, your conversion, you can contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or you can send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. Also, we're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. And if you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. Where you can simply type in the show name or the host name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we thank you so much for doing that. No matter where you're at in the world, we thank you for your continued support with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you so much. And also, if you want to catch up on any of our older episodes, if you have an Android phone, you can just go into the Google Play area where you can just tap in podcasts. You can type in Purpose Kingdom Network, and you can follow us there, and that way you won't miss an episode. Also, if you have an iPhone, there's a purple podcast icon where you can just simply go into there, and you can follow us. You can hit search and follow, hit Purpose Kingdom Network, or type in Purpose Kingdom Network, and you can follow us, and there you won't miss an episode. Each and every episode, you'll get a little message. It'll let you know that a new episode of Purpose Kingdom Network has arrived. We thank you so much. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. And I'm not sure what show we have tomorrow evening, but if I get the information, I'll let you know. And normally our show's on Sunday evening. They start at 9 p.m. And if I can just really quickly try to see if I can figure out what show we have tomorrow evening. I'm not sure, but like I said, as I get the information, I'll go ahead and continue. And like I said, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. And like I said, just or you can go to our Facebook page where we post our upcoming shows. You can just go to Facebook and like us on Facebook where you can see our advertisements and you can see you know, our upcoming shows. And so at 9 p.m. tomorrow evening, it's going to be Study for Life with Pastor Toy Chappie Daly. And once again, like I said, with God's will, God's blessings, hope you join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for Study for Life with Pastor Toy Chappie Daly. And so we're just going to go ahead and resume our program. Dave, you back?
Yes. Sorry.
All right. So, now, you wanted to add anything as we were discussing, you know, Sal's conversion to Paul?
No, that was basically it. It was just you kind of got in there real good. So I think that point was made. But yeah, it's just everybody has their own sort of Saul experience. It doesn't go quite like what the way it was explained in the biblical terms, but everybody experiences their sort of Saul to Paul conversion in their own different way. It's just about how you embrace it. Some people experience last longer than others because of the old nature creeps back in and makes you, you know, go back to things and it makes it seem like your experience, your Saul experience is longer than the average experience, but that's when you have to trust God, just like, you know, Saul had to trust God when he was told to go to Ananias and to go into the city and search for him. So I would say, but it's all, what you touched on is basically about your relationship. Your relationship with God has got to be so tight that nobody can shake you or break you from anything. So when you touch on that relationship, that's really the key to a lot of things. a lot of things will be straightened out if our own personal relationship was at a level with God the way it's supposed to be.
Amen, amen. And as I was stating earlier before I introduced my brother to tonight's show, like I said, him being a part of Roundtable Ministry and also doing our revivals. My brother's been up to something, and he's been doing something in a major way. So, David, tell us what you're up to, what you got going in the works right now.
So basically, I have a book called Silent Tears that I just came out with. And it's called Silent Tears, What Men Go Through. It's basically probably took me about 2 years to do, like, the research. But I just wanted to put something out there for men because and the title is Silent Tears because I believe that men go through a lot of things that we hold in and we due to a lot of various reasons, due to our upbringing, due to the way, so to speak, the way we're programmed just to shed things off. And I just wanted to put something out there even for, like, the youth or just the upcoming people or just the people who are going through now because there are a lot of men who have given up and still going through the motion of just living life but secretly, silently have given up. So I put something out there just expressing about the process of the man and the way he thinks and different things that we experience and just even how to get out of certain things and just leave sort of like an instruction booklet for somebody because you'll find out a lot of times, like I give the reference of women when they go through things, they get on the phone, they call their other girlfriends, they call each other and they map out, you know, what's going on and try to come to a solution. But when men, when we go through things, we don't call each other. We don't try to map it out. I get the expression, we don't really call each other until the ship has already sank. We on a lifeboat with 30,000 holes on it. Now we looking like, all right, can somebody save me? You know, but it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be the way. Men should be able to sharpen each other. You know, we give the expression, iron sharp as iron. That's not just an expression. That should be a real life thing that we go through. So basically, I just in my research, I talked to different men who had different various hurts. I talked with different backgrounds, rich, poor, whatever, people who grew up with a father, without a father. And I found out that it was different things missing inside their lives, you know, that still affects them to this very day. So I just touch on a lot of things about that.
Amen, amen. And, wow, I've yet to read the book, but, you know, for anybody that's interested in getting your book, can you just let us know where you can direct us, where we can order the book?
Okay, you can order the book on Amazon.com. It's called Silent Tears, What Men Go Through by David P. Hudson. Or you can send me an email at silenttearsdd33@gmail.com, and I'll try to get the book to you. Well, I'll get the book to you that way. But yeah, so it's on Amazon.com, Silent Tears, What Men Go Through, or you can email me at silenttearsdd33@gmail.com. And the price is $10.
Wow. Wow. That's, you know what, that's outstanding. David, I know you do a lot of things, and I know for one of the things, I know one of the things you wanted to say, you probably said was doing the works that you want to make sure this book is affordable, that people can afford it. You know, you probably say, hey, whatever I got to do, I want to make sure it's not $30 or $40, which actually, you know, going to hurt somebody's pockets. So, you know, all around, outstanding job. And just give it up to my brother, you know. Great job, Dave. Great job.
Oh, thank
you. Yeah, no problem.
Hey,
thank you. Go ahead. What you saying?
No. I was about to say, it was just about getting the information out there because for me, it's not a me thing. It's about making a difference and breaking the cycle.
Amen.
That was going on in the men, and I even give an illustration in there about the cycle that we go through in a way to change the cycle. So.
Amen. Amen. So I'm going to wrap it up for tonight's show. Thanks, everybody, for participating. Sorry we couldn't get our caller on, but, you know, we'll try, you know, we'll work things out for next time. We'll probably get you on. Well, God's willing, God's blessing. I'll see everybody in another 2 weeks. Like I said, love doing this. Love broadcasting, love being part of PKN. So, you know, until next time, deuces.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.